EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome everyone, wherever you are joining us from tonight. This episode we are joined by Cameron from Texas, and he will be sharing his UFO encounter during a hunting trip in January of 2014. And if anyone out there has had an encounter anywhere in the world, we cover a whole range of experiences with the unexplained. Drop me an email at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on our website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. I also accept short voice recorded submissions. And while you're on the website, check out our past shows, podcast merchandise, and the monthly competition. And also follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for updates. Now, this is a message to the beautiful South Pacific Islands of Fiji. I want to thank you for listening to the show because the podcast has hit first position in the Apple Podcast charts for our subject category. So if you're listening out there, send me an email. Maybe you have some stories you would like to share from Fiji. Get in contact. There is a lot going on in the skies above the South Pacific. And thank you to everyone that has left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show to be more discoverable for future listeners and potential guests. So if you have a couple of minutes, leave a review. And also keep those emails coming in for the Halloween episode special. The scarier, the better. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Cameron.
How's it going?
Thank you for coming on today. It's great to have you with us. Now, you come to us from the Lone Star State of Texas.
Lone Star State, yes, sir.
And you're going to be sharing a UFO encounter on a hunting trip from 2014 and a paranormal experience from the beginning of 2020.
That's correct.
Would you like to start at the beginning for our listeners, please, Cameron?
Yeah, we'll start with the UFO story. So this would have been January 17th of 2014, I believe it was a Friday, going on a hunting trip. My uncle had leased a bunch of land in Waco, which is a bit of a drive. And just the way things turned out, we had to leave our hometown at a, you know, pretty late hour. Now, my uncle lived in a town called Mauriceville, which is about probably 20 minutes from where I live. So I had to make the drive to Mauriceville to pick up, you know, rifles and ice coolers and just, you know, hunting paraphernalia, so to speak. And so Mauriceville is a little bit more secluded. It's tucked away in the woods and it gets very dark out there and usually has a much more colorful night sky than my town, because we have quite a bit of light pollution from the chemical refineries. So while we had made that stop at my uncle's to gather supplies, my father and my uncle had gone into the house to get like a drink or something. And it was basically my job, being a, you know, a 16-year-old who was in good shape, to load everything into the back of the truck. So I ended up getting kind of winded for a second. So I sat on the tailgate of my uncle's truck and I was looking up at the stars while I was catching my breath, because like I said, it's, the sky is just a lot more beautiful in Mauriceville, even though it's 20 minutes away. It's, you really wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. And I noticed a little blue orb kind of just gliding across the sky at probably about 1,000 feet. But the problem with that is I don't know the size of the object, so I really don't know how to gauge it. I had nothing to compare it to. It just, depth perception wise, I just assumed it was like, a, you know, 1,000 feet up. But it was, there was no real detail. It was just a solid blue orb that was glowing, kind of like lightsaber blue from Star Wars. It was almost the exact same color scheme. And it glided across the sky for maybe like 5 seconds at a real steady pace. And I got a good view of it. And, you know, the first thought is, wow, this is some sort of comet or something passing by. But, you know, just, it couldn't have been, because what happened is, like I said, after it traveled for about 5 seconds, it was like a truck slamming on its brakes. And it hit a point where it just decelerated rapidly and just stopped dead for like a half second. And then it made a perfect 90 degree turn and just shot off. And when I say shot off, it was like just a streak, you know, just a blue streak for a fraction of a second. It was like a bullet, honestly. And then that's when I really got startled. My heart started racing quite a bit and my hair stood up, because at that point I was like, okay, that wasn't a shooting star, you know. It really startled me, and I thought about yelling and calling for them to come outside, but the thing was gone. I mean, it was gone. It wasn't going to come back. And I just decided to keep it to myself. So I was fairly spooked. And that night when we made the truck ride to Waco, which is, gosh, maybe 5 hours, I was just on edge the whole time. I wasn't necessarily scared. I was just electrified, you know. I just couldn't believe it, because, you know, I'd heard about UFOs like any American has, and especially any Texan, because it is sort of a prevalent phenomena here. It just blew me away, really. Especially when you're that young, you know, you're still figuring yourself out, and then you have an experience that's, you know, really life changing. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. So after that had transpired, I finished up the hunting trip, and the hunting trip was even more eerie, because this deer lease was way out in the sticks and very secluded. And you go to the deer stand when it's still pitch black outside. So I'm thinking, oh God, you know, is this thing going to follow me or whatever? I was really freaked out when I was hunting, but it made for a good trip. You know, it was spooky, and we didn't end up shooting anything. I think I got a shot off at a jackrabbit or something, but I didn't hit it. There were no animals out the whole weekend. So I came back and I had cell phone service again. So I started searching to see if anybody had like reported it to the news or whatever, if anybody else had seen it. And I couldn't find any articles or anything on the internet. And I found MUFON. I stumbled around their page and I saw where you could report a sighting. So I was like, well, you know, if I report this anonymously, maybe somebody else will come across the same thing and they'll come out and say that they saw it too. So I sent a incident report to MUFON, and they emailed me back. And, you know, basically what they said was, thanks for the story. The description was highly detailed, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't want to interview me without my father's permission because I was a minor. I was 16. And I was like, well, I don't want to tell my dad about this because it's just, well, hell, you know. I didn't want to tell my dad. So I was just, well, I'll just forget about it. And this last year, there's been a lot of, you know, UFO stuff in the news with the stuff the Pentagon's released, the David Fravor incident, which has gotten pretty popular. And then, you know, Bob Lazar went back on Joe Rogan, and that kind of sparked the conversation again. So this is something that's been heavy in my mind. I started getting, you know, more into UFOs, just trying to figure things out for myself, really. That's why I decided to come on and finally verbalize the story and, you know, quit tucking it away in the back of my head.
So it was just a blue orb with just a solid light. It wasn't vibrating or flashing or anything like that.
No, it was constant. There was like no pulsation or anything like that. It was just a constant, like I said, that lightsaber blue color. Kind of like white almost, but with the blue hue at the edge and no sound. I think that's probably what scared me the most, just how quiet it was. As somebody that spends a lot of time in nature, whenever you're in an area that's dead silent, usually that means something's up. Be it, you know, a mountain lion, a coyote, bobcat, you know, if you spent any time in, you know, Texas woodlands, when the birds start chirping, or stop chirping, something's up.
The animals know when something's around, when something, yeah, like you said, something is up.
Yes, they have a very keen sense. You know, as a human, we've kind of, you know, we've lost those senses through the millennia. But if you just pay attention to what the other animals are doing, especially the prey animals, you'll know when something's up. And the one thing I cannot forget about that night was just how quiet it was.
What about the insects? Was there any cricket sounds?
No.
Absolutely silence.
Silent. Yeah. Yeah. Dead silent. Now, granted, this was January, so the bugs aren't, you know, as heavy.
I think we could probably say it's not a satellite. They don't make those kind of 90-degree turns. And obviously, if it shot off and you saw the blue streak, you know, you're looking at quite a fast acceleration.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And the only thing I could really compare it to is, you know, we were talking about firearms before the show started recording. They have tracer rounds, which they ignite when you fire them and you can see them in travel. That's the only thing I can kind of liken it to is a tracer round. I'm telling you, it was faster than that. So, you know, 2,000 feet per second, you cover a mile in less than 3 seconds. This thing was probably going faster than that.
Yeah, that's fast.
Very. So, it it really shook me up. You know, I tried hard to explain it away. I don't know of anything that could fit that description. It was noiseless. It made a stop in the air, which, you know, a drone could do that. And this was around the time where drones were gaining a lot of popularity as sort of a toy. But that last turn is what really sealed the deal for me. And I was like, you know, I saw something that was either, you know, some sort of unknown technology, or it was an extraterrestrial craft. It's still hard to believe, really, just saying it.
I think even now with a battery-powered drone, they wouldn't, you know, they're not able to reach very fast speeds, let alone in, what, 2014?
Right. Yeah, it's, like I said, this thing was traveling over 2,000 feet per second because, you know, I can compare it to a tracer bullet. So that's about it as far as that sighting goes. It's just, I think about it. Maybe two or three times a month. It's usually something I just keep tucked away in the back of my head. Because it was just, that's one of those things you question your entire existence after you see something like that.
Have you told many people, maybe friends, about it?
No, it was just the MUFON thing where I reported it to him. And I'll probably send this show to like two friends, maybe. Like I said, just people that I would consider a confidant, because I'm kind of tired of sitting on it.
Well, you know, you're telling thousands of people now, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's been over 6 years. You know, that's, I don't know how people manage to hold these things in longer than that.
Yeah, some of the I guess, have hold them on 40, 50 odd years, some of their experiences. And, you know, you just want answers, really, don't you?
That's it, man. You know, I'm undoubtedly there are people, you know, looking for publicity or whatever, trying to promote a book. But I really just want it off my chest and hopefully figure out what it was in my lifetime and just have some sort of validation that puts me in a spot where I can just rest and get over it.
To all our listeners, if you are from Texas and you're familiar with the Morrisville area and you may have seen something similar to what Cameron has described here, send us an email.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, Morrisville is kind of sparsely populated, but the general area is actually pretty heavily populated. So somebody had to have seen it. And, you know, if they're listening, I'd really appreciate it if they did contact you, because, you know, I searched MUFON for other reports. I searched, like, I think even Reddit. I think Reddit had some sort of Texas UFO thread that I looked through. I couldn't find anything. That's probably what bothered me the most, because, you know, I felt alone in the experience. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, other people saw this, because this was just, it was a big deal to me. It really was.
It could just be that, you know, other people have seen it and they're just sitting on it, you know, like you did.
You know, but that area, Morrisville, is also kind of an aging population. So I don't know if it's anybody that would be, you know, privy to reporting something like that, or if they'd be up at that hour of the night, because it must have been about 10:30 or 11. You know, we didn't get to Waco until early in the morning the next day.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Let's talk about face masks for a moment. There are good, well-meaning people out there with mental or medical conditions that make wearing a face mask very difficult, if not impossible. I'm aware of people who have been verbally attacked and ridiculed for not wearing a mask. That's just not right. For those of you who live in America, there are laws in place that protect those with physical or mental conditions. This is where MedCards.net comes in. MedCards.net provide medical alert cards which display information that clearly indicates complications to wearing a face mask, along with information regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1986, which makes it illegal for discrimination to occur due to such conditions. The cards are available in medical red or medical green, complete with a medical lanyard to be worn around the neck. The lanyard features a breakaway closure that prevents choking in case of an accident. Don't fear going out in public any longer. If you or someone you know has a mental or physical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask, go to MedCards.net and order your cards today. Cards are shipped the next business day at no cost. Shipping is included in the price. That's right, all cards are shipped free of charge and include a medical lanyard in your choice of colour at no extra cost. So head over to MedCards.net now, and if you use the coupon code UFO, you will save an extra 10%. That is UFO to save an extra 10%. Don't wait, visit MedCards.net and get your card while they're in stock and tell them Nick sent you. Okay, would you like to move on to your your paranormal experience from January of this year, please, Cameron.
For sure. It's something you might be able to chalk up to coincidence. It's just, it was almost too coincidental, if that makes sense. So my grandmother had been sick for a while with congestive heart failure, and it got to the point where her medicine wasn't helping anymore, and she was having mini strokes about once a week where, you know, she'd get kind of discombobulated or hallucinate, and, you know, it was a hard time for her. And at the time, I'd been kind of struggling with religion or whatever, because I had a pretty hard year in 2019 for other reasons. She'd just been so, you know, just sick, and she wanted to go. She'd been around for 93 years. She'd seen, you know, amazing stuff all throughout the 20th century. Very tough woman. She'd survived kidney failure. She brought herself out of kidney failure. She brought herself out of diabetes. She lost an eye. You know, she had a lot of medical issues that she battled very bravely. And, you know, never once did she lose her conviction. This very, very tough but loving one. And so when I realized, like, she probably didn't have much longer left, I decided I was going to leave college and take care of her, because it just felt right. It felt like I was returning a favor because she'd done so much for me. So, you know, things developed, and the last day she was alive, I could tell that, you know, she was probably getting close to starting to be on her way out. I had gone to EMT school back in 2017. You know, I knew how to read vitals, and, you know, I've seen my share of death, you know, so I knew. And I went and sat by her bedside, and, you know, I held her hand and told her she'd done a good job and she had my permission to leave. And, you know, I know she wanted to, and she was still, you know, holding on. I could tell. I checked her vitals and they had dropped drastically, like, earlier in the hour, but they were still kind of holding up again. They plateaued. So I just started, you know, to tell her, you know, she had my permission to go. I thought she'd done a great job. And, you know, I was going to, you know, just sit there and stay with her while she went, and started to pray over her, which, you know, like I said at the time, I was having a struggle with my religion. And I told God, you know, it's basically like, you know, I know I've been a massive screw up. You know, I know I've been unfaithful, and, you know, I told him, I was like, do with me as you would please. But, you know, if there's one thing I really need you to do, I need you to come through and, you know, just go ahead and stop this for my grandmother and go ahead and take her. I couldn't sit there and watch her hurt anymore, you know? And, literally, like, as soon as I finished that prayer, as soon as I muttered the words, amen, she took her last breath. I mean, it was like almost completely instantaneous. I could feel it. And it wasn't a bad feeling in the room. It was a very good, I'm not sure the word to use. My mind's kind of drawn a blank, but it was comforting. Yeah. It was a comforting feeling, because when that happened, when she died, right when I finished saying amen, I was like, it almost 100% instilled in me that, you know, there was something beyond that was going to take care of her. You could feel it in the air. You felt a presence. And I know that's probably a little esoteric, because I tend to be actually a pretty materialistic thinker, but when you're in a desperate situation like that, you know, you'll take anything you can get, right? She just slipped on peacefully, and I felt very comforted. I felt almost as if God himself were in the room. So she passed away. And then a couple of weeks later, maybe just 1 week later, this is about a week or two later, we were cleaning out the house, you know, just talking about how, you know, she had the last laugh over us. It was myself, my mother, and my aunt. We've been talking about how she had the last laugh because, you know, obviously she'd gone to heaven and we had to endure 2020, which was already shaping out to be a pretty bad year. While we were discussing that, my aunt finds a rogue puzzle piece. My grandfather, who died in like 2011, was a pretty avid puzzle builder. And these are pretty complex puzzles. I mean, we're talking like literally 10,000 pieces at times. And he was a very prideful man. You know, he had a rough upbringing. He's, you know, just like I said, a proud, kind of stubborn guy. Very nice, though. He would always save the last puzzle piece for himself. He would go hide it somewhere so nobody could. So that way, you know, when grandkids and daughters came over to work on the puzzles with him, you know, he could still say that he finished it, right? So we completely cleared the house of his belongings. And as we're discussing, you know, this great last laugh that my grandmother had, you know, in an attempt to comfort ourselves, my aunt pulls out this puzzle piece and I'm like, man, that, like, you know, that confirms everything, that there was still a puzzle piece in the house. You know, it was as if my grandfather intended for us to find it at that exact moment. So it was just very interesting that, you know, like I said, this is probably all coincidence, but I do kind of hesitate to call it that because just the feelings that accompanied the whole situation. And it was too good to be true, almost, the way things panned out. And it ended up being a huge comfort to me when I was dealing with like funeral arrangements and whatnot, because I had a pretty solid feeling that, you know, both my grandparents were very well taken care of at that point.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's reassurance and saying, you know, you're gonna find this and everything's gonna be okay. We're okay.
Exactly. Yeah. That, you know, watching my grandmother pass as I finished asking God to go ahead and, you know, take her, you know, that's one thing. But then a week later, the puzzle piece pops up while we're talking about how, you know, they had the last laugh. It was almost like they were telling us that, you know, they've been reunified in the afterlife, whether it's, you know, the Christian version of heaven or, you know, some other dimension or whatever. You know, there's so many theories about it, but very, very reassuring, very comforting. And that's sort of the more woo-woo of the stories I have, so to speak. But I think a lot of the viewers would probably find that comforting. So I thought it was important to share because, you know, death is a hard thing to deal with.
It is a hard thing. And also it's something, you know, we all have to deal with at some point, you know, of our lives.
Yeah, I've, you know, when I got COVID, you know, a lot of that kind of popped up in my head. I had a friend who got it at the same time and he ended up in the hospital. You know, he was younger than me even. And I'm 22 right now. So also had a cousin, her husband passed away from it. When I got my positive test result, I was like, well, you know, I should be okay, but this is a pretty serious illness. You know, your mind has time to wander when you're quarantined. So, you know, sounds a little morbid. I thought quite a bit about death and I kept going back to that. This was around the time I emailed you with the UFO story and that kind of got tied into it just because it had been so prevalent in my mind.
That's right. And you're feeling a lot better now, you know, which is important.
Oh, I feel leaps and bounds better. The one issue is, you know, my cardio still hasn't quite come back. What's today? September 10th. So it's been a month and like 8 or 9 days since I got it. And I've had a couple of nosebleeds since, which nobody's really been able to explain to me. Overall, I'm up and at it. I'm back. It wasn't a fun illness for a healthy 22-year-old. It was not a fun illness. So I want to drive home the importance of taking your vitamins, especially vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin A, and you know, taking care of at-risk people. My my dad was very at risk, but he couldn't leave the house. So I made it a point to stay in one corner of the house and sterilize everything after I touched it. And he didn't get sick.
Yeah, you got to look after the older ones, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I view myself as expendable. If I'd infected, you know, somebody's grandma or especially my father, you know, I don't know that I could live with myself. So I've got 3 months of immunity now is what they've told me. So I've got a little bit of leeway in the upcoming months. But, you know, the masks are not a conspiracy like people claim they are. This isn't like concerted shadow government effort for everybody to wear a mask, which, you know, I don't even know what the motive would be for that. The mask are not a joke. I know exactly where I got sick, and it was the one time I was not wearing a mask. I can trace it down to like a group of five people that I got it from. And it was the one time, like I said, I was not wearing a mask. So wear the mask. You know, it's not a joke. It's not a conspiracy. It might not be 100% effective. If you sneeze with a mask on, it's the difference between, you know, a few particles escaping from the corners of the mask versus a bunch of, you know, saliva and mucus being shotgunned across the room on your cousins.
Nice. But yeah, so it's important to watch out for other people around you.
And it's extremely contagious. I think that's, you know, we already know that, but the people I got it from, I was only around them for like an hour and there was space between us. And it got me good. It's just so contagious. You can't play with it. You can't. If you get it, you've got to call everybody. I called about 50 people after I got my positive test to let them know. And I just hope, you know, other people would extend the same courtesy to each other.
Sure, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're feeling a lot better now. And so everyone wash your hands and wear a mask when you need to.
Definitely. Definitely.
That's great, Cameron. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your encounters.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's actually, you know, been quite a relief. First time I've ever said my experience out loud. It is quite a relief. And I hope that's encouraging to other people to come out and you know, say what they've got to say.
Exactly. It can be very liberating, can't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, undoubtedly, some of this UFO stuff is a hoax. But those of us who know we saw something, we know. And we're the ones that need to speak up. We need to quit letting jokesters solely our genuine experiences. Because this is important, you know. The idea that there might be a hyper-intelligent people visiting the planet and possibly even interfering with it, that's a big deal. I mean, that is the biggest deal in the history of mankind. And it's not something we should just be joking around with and letting people exploit for monetary gain. It's really important.
Exactly. We should be beyond that now. We should be listening to the people who have had these encounters and, you know, an attempt the best we can to make head or tail of it.
Yeah. And I mean, the benefit that it could pose if we uncovered some sort of truth would be phenomenal. Now, you know, say what you want about Bob Lazar and this David Fravor guy or, you know, all the other names that have been kind of big in the news lately regarding UFOs. Say what you want. But if these people are telling the truth, the implications are huge. I mean, you're talking about the death of oil. You're talking about seriously rearranging our social fabric. You know, you're talking about technology that could certainly probably save lives. Even it's incredible. It's too big to ignore. And we shouldn't be playing with it. We should really be investigating this stuff properly. And we need to end the UFO stigma, because when you maintain that stigma, the only people that are going to come forward are the people that are just trying to sell you, you know, BS. You know, don't be afraid to come out and say what you saw. It's important.
Excellent final words. And it's time to take things seriously with people's stories.
Oh yeah,
great talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later.
That is all we have for you, I'm afraid. Thank you to Cameron for joining us from Texas, and thank you for listening. I hope you will join us next week for a possible UFO crash in New Jersey. Till next time, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.